in the Hebrew language, there's a word that I can't remember. It's not important that I remember it, but it always talks when it's talking about and using that as a verb or whatever form it is. It means coming from the other side.
Oh yeah, somewhere in there, right?
I think that's it, but I didn't look it up. And that's what baptism was, is they died when they were, it was a, how can I say this? It was the baptism of repentance, not for doing individual things, but for being Adam. And so when they testified that they were not worthy to be in the kingdom of God, even though that's what everybody believed back then. And they went to the other side. And in going to the other side, when they came back, it was the other side from all of creation. And that was a meaning of baptism that we miss. I know we've talked about it. I know I talked about it in bananas, but I don't know if I did elsewhere. But this whole idea of being from the other side is what then, what's revealed then, if you can see that and you live that, then all of a sudden, all of us, the whole thing about whatever is not of faith is sin, because if faith is the other side. And what's not of faith is the old side. Do you understand what that's saying? And so if you truly are on the other side, then all of the things of love and faith and all of the spiritual things are then the automatic, because you have gone to the others. You've been buried and dead in baptism, and then you arise a new creature on the other side of what you can see with and know with your senses. Now that's a thought of Hebrew that we miss in the English language, one of many. So does anybody have any comments about that? It's nothing that you do. It's Christ in you, but he is on the other side. That's why you have to be baptized and buried before that is manifested.
I had a silly thought that we're the ultimate immigrants in a sense.
Oh yeah, no question.
We're not of this world.
And so that's why all of the scriptures about loving the world and a friend of the world and you're an enemy of God and all of those things that people don't like are the automatic of the other side, if you truly are on the other side. Last night we started to study the seven consecrations of Abraham, and Abraham didn't make it to the other side until he was 110 years old. Isaac made it the moment he wrestled with the angel, gave up, told him, "I'm the Antichrist."
Jacob.
I mean, huh?
Jacob.
Yeah, did I say something else? And Isaac, it was instant, but Isaac was left on the mountain. Abraham, it says Abraham and the two young men, they left and went back to their world. It doesn't say what Isaac did, because he stayed on the mountain. He was on the other side. Now this sounds, I remember when I first talked about this many years ago, it was like a kind of an ooey-oo thing. If people like the ooey-oo thing, then it's something that if they don't, then they just resist against it. But this, if we can understand it, the whole Bible,
blood flows.
or what he takes out of it. The whole Bible is about moving from the side of time and space to the side of eternity. The journey of Israel, when they went from Egypt and finally made it 40 years later to Jerusalem, but it's the other side. They've gone to the other side now. So Jesus didn't care if the temple was destroyed, because it was not from the other side.
Yeah.
And all of the seven consecrations of Abraham revealed how long it took him to get to the other side, because all he did was, he said, I don't do that anymore, and then he went on to some more stuff. And he was the same as Moses. He was the heir apparent to Nimrod, the king, because Terah, his father, was the high priest, Abram's father. And so he was in the same position that Moses was. The king, Nimrod, couldn't have children. And then the Talmud says he couldn't have children because he stole that garment.
He stole the garment that Adam and Eve had?
Yeah. But that's Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Anyway, it's all right.
It's not part of that mystery. You can't get there by trying. You can't get there by your own efforts. You can't get there because you want to. You don't work.
That's why it says. He said, the gospel is only to the poor. That's the only ones that can hear. And poor has nothing to do with money. Remember, it means that what you're doing in time and space in the world system, you no longer gain sustenance and satisfaction from. And you can't conceive of a place in the world that you would get more substance and satisfaction, or change jobs, or whatever it is, change husbands, or change wives, or, you know, whatever it is. If you're still trying to get it, then you can't. You get it when you find that this whole system of time and space has absolutely nothing to do with the mystery of God, except that everything in time and space opposes it. And that's the test that we all have to go through. So, how do you make this doctrine real? How does it become real instead of a philosophy? It can only become real when you no longer gain sustenance and satisfaction from things in time and space in the world. Otherwise, this isn't good news for modern man. It's the worst possible news, because you're dead. So if you still, I hope by the preaching of the cross that you've come to the end of seeing that you see the vanity of the world, the beingness of it. But if you don't, if you still have life in the world, then I pray for you every day. Not just you, but all the people that have gone through us. And there's been a lot. But this is, in a very short sentence, how do we reach the other side? Our question. And you reach the other side by your death.
Yeah.
I don't know that. How do we experience that which is beyond experience? How do we know what is beyond knowledge? How do we believe the impossible, the unbelievable, the absurd? Now this is where this, and this is the entrance or the entree, or the beginning of this mystery of changing gods, and seeing that it really has a massive effect on us when we see that we've been worshiping the wrong god. And how do this you can finally experience that which is unexplainable. You know that which is beyond knowledge. You look through the eyes of the cross at your whole life and the life of the world, and everything is seen through the eyes of the cross. And you see everything that happened to Christ, or Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob, or Noah, or all of those, they're all a picture of the reality of the other side. The one guy on the cross next to Christ said, finally, he made fun of him at first, and then he said, what? Remember?
Did he say there's nothing among this man or something like that? He said, on this day we'll be with you.
Hmm?
On this day we'll be in heaven. That's what Christ
said. Yeah, but what did he say to cause him to say that? What did the guy say?
Let's go to Matthew. Remember me?
Huh?
Remember me?
No. All right, let's go to, you know, there was something to pick up. We'll go to Matthew or 28 or something like that. Maybe it's not Matthew. It's probably John. Somebody sing a song or something. I'm gonna have to bring it. Well, you guys have that Antichrist machine that can look up where in the crucifixion. Oh.
Not in Matthew.
No, it's not in Matthew. I think it's in John, but. What?
I just looked at John.
Well, this must be in Luke.
Yeah, Lord, yeah. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Yeah, I found it.
Where are we?
Luke 23. Let's just read this for the time. We've got time. Start in verse 26. Luke 23:26. This is, we can't study this too much because this is the crucifixion. And as they led him away, they laid a hold upon one Simon, from a Cyrenian, however you pronounce it, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And you can imagine, there are tons of stories about this guy. He became a leader in the church, just like the centurion became a leader in the church. Anyway. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs. Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never and the wombs that never bear, and the somebody else read it. I'm going through a little mess here.
And the paps that never which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say, To the mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us.
Well, no, where are you?
For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear.
But we're we
paps
we
that never gave suck. We, that's where you stop reading.
We stopped reading in verse 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, you stopped in the middle of 29.
In the same place you are.
We're in the same place.
Okay, so read what? So did you just read verse 31?
I haven't gotten there yet. You stopped me.
Oh, okay.
Asked me where I was. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they were coming to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. The people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided them, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, and Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him and said, If thou be the Christ, save thyself.
And that's the sentence I was looking for. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Okay, good.
But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Now, that's the incredible statement. And it was, there were two criminals that were one on each side of Christ. One said, if you're the Christ, save yourself and save us. Because that's what the Christ could do. But the other one, who berated his buddy, they said, this is, no. What did he say again? And we, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And how could he say that? Today, because we know that at least 3 days happened before he was ascended. But in the ascension is the only day. That's why you can't, this is why it's so critical that you understand that seven can't be reached by anybody on this side. And you can't You can't have 8, which is the ascension, without 7. And so if there isn't 100% peace in your mind, then you're part of 7, or you're part of 6 rather than 7. You understand that? And 8 is, that's why we have the dome thing with the lace and stuff on tabernacles to celebrate that going from that celebrates going to the other side. Amen. Well, this is to me. You know, you did run well, but you've gotten all screwed up again. Is when you start giving importance to something you're doing in the world, or think that it's important, or start excusing yourself or trying to justify yourself by scripture. Most people don't study scripture to see something; they study scripture to justify themselves. So the mind can't understand. So it always comes up with a different answer. That's why we have all these crazy, unbelievable translations of the Bible that are, I just get sick when, I've got one of those parallel Bibles that it gives all the difference. And I just, every time, I look at it every once in a while, and it just makes me sick. Because they're leading all these people astray, like the prosperity gospel and many others, because they don't ever talk. I've never heard somebody say, live, you're dead. That agrees with the scriptures. You're dead, and the real you is on the other side. The real you is Jesus Christ, but he hasn't revealed as long as you are there. As I've said so often, your garment is spotted by the flesh, and it's spotted because, and you put him in prison in the deepest dungeon, and you as the temple. And that's what this mind always tries to do. It tries to bring you back into the picture. Anyway, that's enough for today. We'll talk more about the other side and what it means with regard to changing gods. Anybody have any response or thoughts or questions? You understand perfectly.
Perfect.
That's your what you're supposed to do is understand it personally, but not with your mind. Your mind will always keep you in the picture. That's his job.
I'm just thinking about the mind. And on the one hand, the mind is trying to deny self, pick up cross, do what it hears is the right thing. And on the other hand, the mind is trying to deny everything that God ever said and the Bible's not true. It's like the battleground is this realm of
right, it's the battlefield. That's what we're talking about, the battlefield of the mind.
Yeah. And nobody escapes.
Yeah, but you have to see your death. That's what the whole idea of the movement from Egypt to promise or to the mercy seat, same as moving from Babylon and rebuilding the temple. Now we rebuild the temple. We are the living stones. For rebuilding of the temple. Not a temple made with hands, but a temple for the marriage supper of the Lamb. As I said, to say this stuff, just to talk about it, it just sounds absurd. It sounds impossible. That's why the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
So they throw the whole mystery of the other side out the door. All right. Take it, big guy.